Ah, pues es verdad, supongo. ¿Quién querrá vivir sin jamón? Fino tío Pepe. Thin Uncle Joseph. Bueno, sí le noto un poco más delgado al tío últimamente. Y ya lo más legendario, rape a la marinera. Rape sailor style. O sea, violación al estilo marinero. Bueno, no creo yo. Estos son ejemplos curiosos, divertidos, pero miles de escritos importantes salen de España con errores importantes. La palabra escrita lleva más la imagen de una persona o de una empresa que la palabra hablada. No se la juegue cuando se trate de traducir algo importante. Confíe en los profesionales. Confíe en Vaughan. Vaughan Translations. ¿Quieres recibir clase conmigo? Pues si quieres, tienes 200 horas de clase de inglés gratis en RTV a la carta. Ve a Google y escribe Vaughan RTV a la carta. Y presto, ahí verás más de 370 clases de media hora y cada día se añade una más. Desde principiante hasta avanzado, te llevo por todo lo necesario de mi idioma. Píldoras potentes de inglés. También hay libros de texto que acompañan al curso, pero son opcionales. Con o sin ellos, aprenderás mucho inglés o mejorarás mucho tu dominio. Pruébalo en Google. Vaughan RTV a la carta. Ahí nos veremos.
Don Quijote y Sancho Panza. Cleopatra y Marco Antonio. Adán y Eva. Romeo y Julieta. Vaughan y Disney.
Sí, ya lo has oído. Vaughan y Disney siguen colaborando para que tus hijos aprendan inglés mientras se divierten. La magia de Disney con la calidad de Vaughan. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Si tienes alguna duda o necesitas información sobre cualquiera de nuestros cursos, llámanos al 91-133-5833. Repito, 91-133-5833.
Esta es La Hora Extra, con Richard Vaughan.
Hello and welcome to the Extra Hour, 10 o'clock at night on a Monday. It's a good day, it's a good evening. Yes, it's been a good day. Today's Monday and it's been a good day for me. It's been a good day, it's been a good day. It has been. Ha sido un buen día, hasta ahora. A las 12:01, dentro de 2 horas y 1 minuto, cambió al pasado simple. It was a good day, because it's Tuesday morning. In the middle of the night, but it's Tuesday. In the English language, we're very precise on what is past and what is present, and what is past plus present, which is present perfect. Today, it's 10 p.m., which means Monday as a day has covered up to now 22 hours and 1 minute. It's 10:01 right now. It's 10:01. So today we have completed so far, hasta ahora, so far, 22 hours and 1 minute. We still have 1 hour and 59 minutes left. So we can't use the past tense because the day isn't over yet. And the only way we can use the present tense is talking about right now. Today is a good day. I am speaking on the radio right now. But if I want to include the past together with the current moment, I have to use the present perfect. Today has been a good day. It has been a good day. Now, maybe in 1 minute, I will receive a telephone call of a tragedy. And so it changes. Today has been, it has been means hasta ahora inclusive. Maybe within 1 minute, everything can change. But so far, today has been a good day. It has been. It's been. It's been, contracción, it's been. It's been a good day. Today's been a good day. It's been a good day. It's been a good day. It's been, it hasn't been a bad day. It hasn't been a bad day. It hasn't been a bad. It hasn't been a bad day. Enlaza las sílabas en inglés, por favor. Si quieres tener fluidez, tienes que forzarte a enlazar, diciendo en voz alta frases así, sencillas. It's been a good day, it hasn't been a good day. It's been a bad day, it hasn't been a bad day. It hasn't been a, it hasn't been a, it's been a, it hasn't been a good day. It hasn't been a bad, it hasn't been a bad. Sin bad. It hasn't been a bad day. So today's going to be a good day for me. Has it been a good day for you? Has the day been productive? Have you been able to accomplish everything you wanted to accomplish? To accomplish is llevar a buen fin, a buen puerto, a cumplido, lograr. Have you accomplished everything you have wanted to accomplish today? If not, you can put it off until tomorrow. Yeah, why not? No dejes para hoy lo que puedes dejar para mañana. No hagas hoy lo que puedes dejar para mañana. All right. That's a good saying. Yes. Y si es viernes para lunes. Yes. Don't leave today for today. Don't do today what you can leave for tomorrow. Yes. Although the expression, the correct expression is don't leave for tomorrow what you can do today. All right. But a lot of people do it the opposite. Don't do today what you can put off until tomorrow. To put off is aplazar, porque no lo quieres hacer. To put off. To postpone is formal. To put off is mañana. I'll do it tomorrow. Maybe mañana. The maybe mañana, instead of maybe tomorrow, is an expression in the United States based on the mentality of Latin America or the Mexicans. Maybe mañana. I will do it maybe mañana. Of course, it's a stereotype and incorrect because the Mexican-Americans are very hard workers. They're very good, eh? By the way. The Latin population in the United States is very hardworking. But from Mexico, in Mexico, there's a certain stereotype, rightfully or wrongfully, that maybe mañana will do it. Here in Spain, no. But people do put things off more here than in other countries. But that's human nature again. It's not Spanish nature. It's human nature. I put things off constantly. I'm a procrastinator. I procrastinate constantly. So I'm no better. If I'm criticizing or making fun, I have to include myself as the object. Because I'm the first person on this planet to put things off. Things I don't feel like doing, I find some way to put them off until tomorrow. And then when tomorrow comes, I put them off until the afternoon, and the afternoon arrives, then I decide there's some good reason to put the things off until the following day. And finally, it's no longer necessary sometimes to do these things. Yeah. Yes. So no hagas lo que puedes dejar para mañana. Oh, no, well, la expresión aquí es no dejes para mañana lo que puedes dejar para pasado mañana. All right. Don't leave for tomorrow what you can leave for the day after tomorrow. All right. And if it's Friday for Monday. All right, that's the correct expression. But it's not true. In some cases, yes, but that's a human failure. Not a Spanish failure. Do nice people get taken advantage of more than shrewd people? Yes, they do. Nice people get taken advantage of more than shrewd people. Shrewd people are people who are very smart, intelligent, alert, and clever. And they don't. It's not easy to take advantage of a shrewd person. The question is, nice people don't take advantage of other people. It doesn't occur to them. Nice people, the last thing in the world that occurs to a nice person is to find a way to take advantage of somebody else. They don't do it. However, shrewd people, clever people, sly people. Sly means listones into the taimado. It's very negative. They will take advantage of nice people. However, I'm convinced that in the long run, nice people are happier and live a fuller, happier life than sly people or shrewd people, etc. Because they enjoy life. They get taken advantage of. If you can overcome the, let's say, the frustration or the burning feeling of injustice when somebody takes advantage of you. People have taken advantage of me a lot in my life because I'm a nice guy. I have a big heart. And some people take advantage of it, but I can't change. I'm very hardworking. And so in the long run, it's impossible to fail. Things just, good things happen to good people who are always working hard. Good things end up happening. Terminan por pasarles cosas buenas a la gente buena. You simply need to believe in yourself. Don't get distracted too much by the bad people. And don't allow yourself to be affected too much by the bad things that happen to you. And just continue doing your best. Yeah. And you will succeed. 40 years, 45 years of a professional life is enough time to succeed. You don't need more time. Sometimes big success happens starting in year number 30 or 35 of the 45 years, but it's good things happen. Sometimes success in life is like a constant in savings plan. You save money every month. You save 10% of your salary every month and put it into an interest-bearing account with compounded interest, which means you don't spend the interest that you earn. You reinvest it. After 45 years, you have a lot of money. A lot of money. If you can find 3%, now it's not easy to find, you know, to find these things. I mean, really. I mean, if you look at it, Let's do some numbers. Let's do some numbers. Shall we? All right. Let's say you start and you have an account of let's say you have 3,000 euros in the bank. Okay. And you have a salary of, a net salary, take home pay. Llevar a casa. Take home pay is tu sueldo neto, lo que te transfieren a tu cuenta bancaria. Después de las retenciones. After withholdings, you have the take home pay, your net salary. So let's say you make a net salary of, I don't know, 2,000 euros. Esto es promediado for 40 years. 2,000 euros and you save 10%. So you save 200 euros. Okay. So the first year, you save 200 euros a month. So that's 2,400 euros a year. Okay. And that money earns 3%. So you multiply it by 1.03. And so you, at the end of the first year, you have 2,472, which you add to the original 3,000. And you do your numbers, and you will see that it starts growing. It starts growing. Not bad. I'm trying to do it as I'm talking to you, and I think I'm making mistakes on my Excel sheet. No, it's okay. And you save 2,400 every year, and it starts growing and growing and growing. All right. Yes, sir. At the end of, let me number these things. At the end of year number one, you have 5,000. So let's continue adding up. At the end of year number 12, you have 32,000. Yeah, you're saving 2,400 every year with interest, 3% interest. Now, if we continue for another up to year number 20. Let's up to year number 22. All right, let's see what we get. Just a second. Let me put these things in. All right. And we end up having 50, at the end of 22 years, you have 57,000. Let's continue until year number 32. Okay. And we'll continue. Here we go. At the end of 32, of course, that's a, you have to have self-discipline. But it's only 200 euros a month you're saving. At the end of 32 years, you have 82,000. And I said 45 years, eh? Well, let's go up to year 45, shall we? All right, we'll go to year 45 and see how much you have. At the end, see if you can retire on that. Probably not. You need to earn more than 2,000 euros a month. So at the end, you have 115,000 euros. At the end of 45 years, saving 200 euros a month. You have, but that's at 3% interest. If you can get 4% interest, you know, it changes everything. It's interesting to do these studies because you can see the importance of compound, of getting good interest rates. So if we copy all of this and we change this one to 4% instead of 115,000, well, everything changes. And we'll see how much. We'll see how much you have at the end of 45 years. At the end of 45 years, you have 115,000 again. I must have made a mistake. Ay, de mi. Whatever. But saving, but you have to earn more than 2,000 euros net per month as you get older. Your starting salary is 2,000 net, which means by the time you're 40, your salary should be 5,000 net. By the time you're 55, it should be 7,000, 10,000 net, or maybe you're a multimillionaire. But compound interest grows very fast. All right, let's go on. So do nice people get taken advantage of? Yes, they do. You know, it's interesting, the syntax of this sentence, English in this case is much different than Spanish. Do nice people get taken advantage of more than shrewd people? Yes, they do. Shrewd people is gente lista, muy astuta, pero no mala. Shrewd is not a bad word. It's a neutral word, shrewd. Now, do nice people get taken advantage of? Preposition at the end. A la gente maja y simpática se les... Uf, it's difficult to say this sentence in Spanish. Son objetos de... My God, just a second. Se les aprovecha más. O sea, aprovecharse de. You have to say it the opposite way. Los listos se aprovechan de la gente maja y simpática. You have to say it the opposite way. Do shrewd people take advantage of nice people? That's the active voice. Do shrewd people take advantage of nice people? Yes, they do. Are nice people taken advantage of more than shrewd? Well, I said it. Do nice people get taken advantage of? This is very foreign from Spanish. It would be almost impossible for a Spanish speaker to speak this way. You would have to live for 25 years immersed in an English-speaking environment to formulate a sentence like this. However, natives formulate sentences like this every day. To get taken advantage of. To get fired. I got fired. I got taken advantage of. I got taken to the cleaners. Me han llevado a la tintorería, me han limpiado en seco. They told me dinero. I got taken to the cleaners. I got taken advantage of, and then I got fired. Using the verb to get in this case. All right, another question. Is science making a strong impact on farming technology? Ooh, beautiful. This is a subject that fascinates me. The potential for improving farm output is tremendous. The potential for improving farm technology. I think we have the potential to feed the earth 10 times more than we do now. Malnutrition still exists in certain areas of the world, certain very localized areas of the world, but it's because of poor logistics or poor political systems or exploitation by other humans. It's not a question of not having enough food. It's a question of development in some cases, and corruption in other cases, or war in other cases, which basically is corruption as well. But science is improving the yield or the output on farming incredibly. Right now in Spain, there's a big controversy. Probably you're not aware of it. Probably you are not aware of this controversy. No estás al corriente, seguro. I am, because it's a subject I'm familiar with, which is the Trasvase Tajo Segura. You know, the Tagus River, Tagus is the Tajo in English. The Tagus River starts in Teruel, I think, or in the north. I think it starts in Teruel. Let me check on this. Let's see. ¿Dónde nace el Tajo? I think it's in Teruel or in the north of Guadalajara, Molina Aragón, in esa zona. Sierra de Albarracín, el río Tajo, nace en los Montes Universales en la Sierra de Albarracín, provincia de Teruel. Okay. And then it meanders down through the province of Guadalajara into the province of Toledo and then to the province of Cáceres and the province of... No, province of Cáceres. Yes. And then it crosses Vicente Alcántara or somewhere over into Portugal and meanders on down to the mouth in Lisbon. And in Lisbon is very, very wide. Now, if you study the farming along the way, the agriculture along the way, you see that the land along the Tagus River is usually not ideal for farming. It's usually not ideal for farming. There's some areas in which it is. There's some areas, yes. But it's usually not. Passing through Guadalajara, it's not ideal for farming except right along the banks. The banks on las orillas. Because Guadalajara is a very hilly province. Hilly means, you know, the cerros y colinas y monte bajo. And it's not for agriculture. Then you pass into Toledo, and it's kind of the same, a little bit better than Guadalajara and Teruel. It's a little bit better. But if you've ever been to the city of Toledo, and you notice the river, you can see very clearly that at least in the area around the city itself, it's not ideal for farming. But as you continue towards Talavera de la Reina, yes, it becomes better. And also the valley between the Gredos Range and the Montes de Toledo. If you go to Oropesa and you go to the Parador and you look out, you can see Gredos, you know, Candeleda and Madrigal de la Vera in the, about 35 or 40 kilometers away. It's a very nice valley, which is also good. But then the Tagus enters further in the Cáceres, and you have the area of Monfragüe. And it's muy escarpado. It's very, very rough terrain, not ideal for agriculture. I would say that if you, from the Sierra Albarracín to the border with Portugal, maybe 15 or 20% of the land on either side of the Tagus lends itself to really good, excellent agriculture. So the decision was made during the Franco regime to channel part of the water to Murcia, because Murcia has very, very good agriculture if it has water. But Murcia doesn't have water, except Riadas. You know, they have these big flash floods from time to time. But, and so in Bolarque, in an area near Pastrana, there's a embalse called the Embalse de Bolarque, and there they have an incredibly powerful pump, a bomba that pushes the water up, and then the water flows once to the top of a hill, and then it flows down all the way to Murcia. And that water has allowed Murcia to become a vergel. And Murcia, I think, even more than Almería, Murcia produces 5 to 6 crops per year, harvests per year of green peppers, pimientos, tomate. It's just incredibly. It's a garden of Eden. Jardín de Edén, down in Murcia, thanks to the water from the Tagus. But now there is a movement to reduce the amount of water or to stop it. So it's creating a typical problem in which Spain doesn't have centralized decision making. And so you end up having los reinos de taifas. You know, you have the feudos. You have, of course, the Cuna Valenciana. You have Murcia. You have Albacete. You have Albacete or the Castilla-La Mancha. And then you have Extremadura, and you have the province of Toledo, Castilla-La Mancha again, saying, the water, we need the water. Of course they need the water, but the water is better used, probably, in Murcia. And it contributes a greater amount of value to the Spanish economy than if they don't send the water. And the same problem about 15 years ago with the Ebro. The central government wanted to do something similar with the water from the Ebro. But, of course, Catalonia and Aragon said, no way, Jose. All right, it's difficult to have national policy, but this country is too small to have provincial. The province is calling the shots. I'll be right back.
Tengo 23 años y acabo de terminar la carrera de Administración y Dirección de Empresas. Decidí hacer este máster antes de acabar la carrera porque mi nivel de inglés era realmente bajo. Veía que tenía que buscar un trabajo y que necesitaba un buen nivel de inglés. Y creí que esta era la mejor forma y una alternativa a irte fuera. Así que decidí compaginar un poco los estudios con el inglés. Y ahora que he terminado, hace una semana que he terminado los estudios, si tengo que buscar trabajo, me siento un poco más preparada. Lo mejor es el equipo de profesores que tienen. Hacen las clases muy amenas y aprovechamos el tiempo al máximo.
No importa lo que hayas estudiado, no importa a qué te quieras dedicar, hagas lo que hagas, vas a necesitar el inglés. Haz un máster que realmente merezca la pena. Haz el máster en inglés profesional de Vaughan. Más información en el 91-133-5833 o en grupovaughan.com. Máster en inglés profesional.
Además, ahora fíanciate hasta el 100% del coste y págalo cómodamente hasta en 24 meses. Puedes ver las condiciones de financiación en el apartado de máster en grupovaughan.com.
Alicante, Barcelona, Bilbao, Valladolid, Valencia, Vigo, Santander, Zaragoza y Madrid. Ven a vernos a cualquiera de nuestras academias de inglés Vaughan. Ven a vernos sin ningún compromiso. Queremos conocerte. Infórmate en grupovaughan.com.
Hello there, this is Fitz. I want to talk to you about the Curso de Inglés Online de Vaughan. €99 for 1 year of classes. You can spread the €99 over 3 months. It's 30 cents per day. All the Vaughan favorites are in there. Richard Vaughan, Richard Brown, Jimena Holiday, Kyle Miller, Alberto Alonso. Curso de Inglés Online, Vaughan.com.
Dispara tu carrera profesional con un máster Vaughan. Dominarás el inglés oral en situaciones cotidianas y profesionales. Aprenderás a escribir correctamente textos y cartas de negocios en perfecto inglés y transmitirás una imagen de profesionalidad. El máster incluye una o dos inmersiones lingüísticas en Vaughan Town, donde practicarás lo aprendido en el máster con angloparlantes nativos de todas partes del mundo. Puedes hacerlo a tiempo completo o a tiempo parcial. Tú eliges la que más te convenga. La versión completa se realiza por videoconferencia e incluye más de 900 horas de inglés y dos inmersiones en Vaughan Town. La versión parcial se realiza también por videoconferencia o, si lo prefieres, de manera presencial en nuestros centros de Madrid, Barcelona, Valencia y Zaragoza, e incluye más de 500 horas de inglés y una inmersión en Vaughan Town. Todo, por supuesto, en un entorno seguro, cumpliendo todas las medidas de higiene y distanciamiento social. Te estamos ofreciendo el mejor programa de inglés del mercado. Tú decides. Máster en inglés profesional. Para más información, grupovaughan.com.
Lo que más miedo da al profesional español es hablar por teléfono en inglés. Por eso Vaughan ha desarrollado las clases telefónicas, en las que trabajarás tanto tu comprensión auditiva como tu fluidez oral con un auténtico crack de la enseñanza. Tú eliges la hora y la temática de cada clase. Flexibilidad absoluta. Calidad Vaughan 100%. Contrata las clases telefónicas de inglés de Vaughan para tu empresa. Llama al 911-335-831 o entra en grupovaughan.com.
Prueba el método Vaughan con nuestro curso trimestral. Elige entre nuestra modalidad presencial o por videoconferencia. Y el resto, déjanoslo a nosotros. 3 meses de listening y speaking con los mejores profesores del mercado. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Curso trimestral de Vaughan. Ven a vernos a nuestra tienda física en Madrid, en la calle Orense 75. Y si no te viene bien, ya sabes, vaughantienda.com.
Sí, dígame.
Ahora tu profesor Vaughan desde tu casa, la oficina. Tu profesor Vaughan en clases telefónicas. Ahora más fácil y cómodo. Consigue uno de los 3 planes de formación en grupovaughan.com/clases telefónicas.
Extra con Richard Vaughan.
Hello and welcome back. Okay, our second half hour of today's Monday edition of the Extra Hour, 10:30 at night. All right, the question before the break was about science. Science, la ciencia. The question is science making a strong impact on farming technology? Very, very much. In every way, artificial intelligence within farm equipment. Farm equipment, the three most important elements of farm equipment are tractors, combine harvesters, and balers, empacadoras. But there's a lot more equipment, and it's improving tremendously every decade, improvements. It's also quite expensive, but nevertheless, also in the area of fertilizers, inorganic fertilizer, there are new developments in ways to avoid using inorganic fertilizer, fertilizantes inorgánicos, and it's quite interesting. And we can abandon the use of fosfatos, potash, las potasas, and nitrogen, nitrógeno. Those are the three nutrients that plants need to grow quickly and in a healthy way. They need, in different degrees, different plants in different degrees, and depending on the soil, el suelo agrícola, in the climate, the soil, and the type of plant. But the three nutrients, I repeat, are potassium, nitrogen, and phosphorus. Now, phosphorus is, and these can be done through manure and other organic ways. Yes, estiércol provides a lot, but however, it's much, much more expensive. It's incredibly cheaper, much cheaper to use inorganic fertilizer by importing phosphate rock, breaking it down into phosphoric acid, mining the potash, las potasas, and creating potassium types, P2O5 potassium types of fertilizer, and then, of course, nitrogen through urea, and other things. And that's for the crops. However, these are inorganic, which means you apply it to the crops. The crops son los cultivos, the crops. And they grow beautifully, much 3 times better than 50 years ago. However, the rains wash away the inorganic material into the streams and into the rivers, and it's a pollutant. What is the concentration? Not very high, but nevertheless, it's a pollutant. And so it moves into the oceans, finally. And over a period of 50 million years, will the oceans... like the oceans are salty. Why? Why is the sea salty? Porque el mar es salado. Me cachis en la mar salada. I poop in the salty sea. All right. But why is it salty? Because over the past, I don't know, 500 million years, the rain that has fallen onto the earth, onto the ground, flows into the rivers, and there's a little bit of salt in the on the ground that passes into the rivers and finally into the sea. And over 500 million years, it accumulates in the sea, because there's no exit. Ahí se acumula. And so after a period of 500 million years, maybe, or more, the oceans are salty. The oceans are salty because of the continuous arrival of small amounts, very small amounts. But over 500 million years, that makes the ocean salty, and the rivers are not. But it's the fault of the rain and the rivers that the seas are salty. The rain isn't salty when it comes down, but when it comes in contact with the earth, there's a little bit of salt in the earth, and it flows into the ocean. And the same, if we continued using inorganic fertilizers for 500 million years, it would create a terrible ecological disaster. But of course, in 100 years, no. But nevertheless, it's always better to find organic ways, organic approaches, but they have to be financially viable. They have to be efficient in cost, and they're not. Except in certain areas where you can use organic, you can use manure and other things. But nevertheless, for me, it's fascinating. Technology and farming, si la agricultura, agriculture, but it's fascinating, not only in fertilizers, in pesticides, in farm equipment, and in genetically modified crops, which here in Europe, people are against it. In the rest of the world, they're moving forward very quickly. Europe is falling behind on GM food. Even salmon now, salmon. Modificado geneticamente. They do it all the time. Cows and sheep, they modify animals. And they do it with crops as well. Corn and rice that's resistant to the pests, in which you don't need pesticides, and that contain greater nutritional value. But it's here in Europe, it's still called, they still often say Frankenstein food. Yes, comida Frankenstein, because it's genetically modified. However, people in India, people in Brazil, people are benefiting tremendously from genetically modified food. There's a fear here in Europe, I don't know why, greater than in other areas. And it's also a certain type of envy, because companies outside of Europe are the pioneers on this and not European companies. And so they want to hurt Monsanto or other companies like that. So it's a mess. But in any case, science is going to change, continue having a strong impact in changing farming technology to the better In 50 years, we are going to be able to produce easily 10 times the food we need, really. And so more and more land will be available for leisure activities, for fun. We don't, for hunting if you want, but we won't need so much land for farming anymore. And farming will start to take place in buildings. Can you imagine a skyscraper? For example, the Willis Tower, or the Hancock Building, or in Chicago, which has 96 stories, the Hancock Building. Can you imagine on every story, on every floor, you have the equivalent of 100 hectares of farmland on one single floor of a building in trays and bandejas. And you go up to the, so you can, all of the agriculture in Extremadura can be fit in three buildings, three skyscrapers. And so it'll change things for the better. Our material world is going to continue to improve. All right, let's go on. The verb to do. To do is hacer, right? ¿Qué, pero qué haces? What are you doing? ¿Qué haces los fines de semana? What do you do? To do is hacer en el sentido de realizar. Llevar a cabo. All right. Efectuar. Yes, to do. The verb to make is realizar en el sentido de producir, confeccionar, elaborar. That's to make. For example, una tortilla española, you make it. You can't do an omelet. That's impossible. Voy a realizar una tortilla española. It sounds very strange. That means I'm going to do. If you say I'm going to do a Spanish omelet, in effect, voy a efectuar, voy a llevar a cabo una tortilla. It sounds funny. Yes. But make, yes. Make is elaborar. Voy a confeccionar. Voy a producir voy a hacer. I'm going to make a Spanish omelet. To make. But here we are with the verb to do. With prepositions. And some of them are very, very common. Do it over. If somebody looks at you, if you present, for example, you write a composition or a document. You write a document to send and you give it to your boss. And your boss looks at it and looks at you and says, do it over. What do you understand? Do it over. Do it over. It means go back and repeat it. Start from scratch and do it again because it's not what I want. Go back and do it over and include this, this, and this. And don't include that, that, and that. Go back and do it over. I have to do it over. The boss told me to do it over. To do it over. Or to do it over again. Es redundante decir tanto over como again, pero se dice muchísimo. You know, it's interesting, some people in Spain, when they speak Spanish, luego después, it's completely redundant. Luego o después, but you don't have to say both. But sometimes I hear it, luego después. And to do it over again, we use it all the time. Oh, I'm going to have to do it all over again. I'm going to have to do it all over again. You know, now, no. But several years ago, working on a computer, if the electricity went out and you were not saving what you were doing, you lost a lot of work. Sometimes you could lose 2 hours of work. Some people have lost 2 days of work. My God, I never saved it along the way. Que es guardarlo conforme vas avanzando. Vas guardando. But many people didn't do it. And so suddenly the lights went out. My God, we've lost the electricity. Oh, you can hear an office when this happens. Oh. and so you have to go back and do it all over again. I'm going to have to go back and start all over again. To start over. To start over. Not only to do over. To start over means empezar de nuevo. I have to go back and start over. To start from scratch is comenzar de cero. O sea, partir de cero. To go back and start over again means volver atrás y empezar de nuevo. De nuevo, to go back and start all over again. Muchas veces añadimos all, según el nivel de frustración. I have to go back and start all over again. Oh my God. How am I going to create something as good as what I created? Usually you create something better. I take it with philosophy. To take it with philosophy is a Spanish expression. I take it in stride. All right, I'm going to have to go back and do it all over again. But nowadays, no. Nowadays, the computer technology, the different Microsoft versions of Windows saves these things for you. You don't lose them. And so, but I remember many years ago, I think around the year 2000, 2001, 2002, I remember we had our main offices were located in the Madrid Barrio de la Concepción, Virgen de Nuria. And I remember once they were doing public works along the street with the cabling, those cableados eléctricos, and boom! Every 2 hours or something, the entire neighborhood lost its energy, lost its electricity. And we could hardly work that day. We had to work and remember to save everything along the way. So, but to do something over, do it over again. We have to do it all over again. I don't want to do it over again. Well, I'm sorry. You're going to have to go back to your desk, sit down, and do it over. Do it over again. Do it all over again. All right, to do without. To do without. O sea, hacer sin. Literalmente, hacer sin. To do without. To do without is privarte de algo. To do without. Yes, I don't really know how to say that. I'll have to do without a computer for 10 days. Tendré que privarme de una. I don't know how to say it. Let's see, to do. Let's look up the verb to do. 87,000 pages. To do, let me see if I can find some good. Let's see if I can find some phrasal verbs. I can't find any. There's too much to read. I'll never find it. To do without. Well, let me go. To do without. To do without. Olvidar, pasar por alto. No. All right. Apañarse con. I can do without. Yeah, we've run out of milk. You'll have to do without it until I can get to the shops. Tendrás que ingeniártelas. To do without milk. But to do without is poder vivir sin. Poder prescindir de. Estar sin. To do without. I'll have to do without it. To forego this. To do without. It's like sacrificing a little bit. I'll have to do without a microphone. We don't have a microphone. Well, I need to give a speech to 100,000 people. Well, you'll have to do it only with the power of your voice. You will have to do without a microphone. But how can I do without a microphone? What am I going to do? Well, you figure out a way, all right? I mean, that's what I pay you for. I pay you to solve problems and not to bring me problems. To do without. To do without. I mean, look at Ethan McKee. To do without. Okay, there's no mayonnaise left. So you'll just have to do without. All right. Thank you, Kate. We can do without language like that. Say nothing about que oigamos lenguaje tan hiriente. We can do without language like that. Thank you. All right. To do without. But I can't find a really, really good one. The definition of to do without. If you do without something you need, want, or usually have, you're able to survive, continue, or succeed, although you don't have it. We can do without the help of your organization. Podemos seguir adelante sin la ayuda de tu organización. We can do without the help of your organization. All right, but I can't find better expressions for to do without. To do without, I'm looking for more. Okay. I can't find any more. To do away with is deshacerse de, to do away with it. To throw something away is tirarlo a la basura, to throw, that book is, I don't like that book, I'm going to throw it away. That means lo voy a tirar, este libro no vale para nada. This book is worthless, I'm going to throw it away. But to do away with something is something you have that you really don't need anymore. Yes. Hey, Jimmy, yeah? All those old photo albums of your marriage, do you really want to keep those photo albums of the wedding, the honeymoon, because you and Jennifer are not even on speaking terms anymore? I mean, you went through a terrible 2-year court battle and now you're paying alimony. Incredible. You're paying out the nose. You're paying alimony. Alimony is, oof, it's, what do you call it? Pensión alimenticia, pensión a la ex esposa o esposo. It's called alimony. Alimony. Strange word, eh? Alimony. Yes, pensión alimenticia, pensión conyugal. All right. And so you're paying alimony. My God, you're paying 5,000 euros a month in alimony. You spent a year in the courts fighting, and you want to keep those photo albums of your wedding and your honeymoon. If I were you, I would do away with them. I would get rid of them. Throw them away. Throw them away means directly to the trash bin or to the rubbish bin or whatever, to the garbage can. Throw it away. Throw it away. Throw it away. Throw those photo albums away. Yes, because, of course, if somebody got married and enjoyed taking photographs back in the 80s or in the 90s, of course, or even in the first decade of the 20th century, often we didn't have the type of photography options we have today with our cell phones or our mobile telephones. And so we took pictures, we took photographs. And then we went to the Kodak shop, usually Kodak, to have the photographs developed. And then we placed them in photo albums. Now, there are a lot of people who have photo albums, especially of their wedding, the wedding albums, the wedding photos. Now, if they hate their ex-spouse, if a person hates his ex-spouse, well, he should do away with those photo albums. What's in that photo album? Oh, that's the wedding album, the wedding photos. With you and Margaret. Well, why don't you send the album to Margaret? Oh, I don't think she would appreciate receiving the album. Well, you want to keep the album? Really, yeah, because I was pretty handsome in that tuxedo. Yeah, in ese frac. I was pretty handsome in that tuxedo, so I'm going to keep the album. Besides, the best man is Charlie, my best friend, and I can see Charlie when he was only 27 years old. Now Charlie is 47, and he's about 30 kilos overweight. He's lost half of his hair. He's balding and with a big belly, beer belly, barriga cervecera. Yes, medio calvo. And he's a couch potato. He's a what? He's a couch potato. Una patata de sofá. That's right. What's a couch potato? Una persona que juega al sillón bol. Sillón bol? ¿Qué es eso? What's that? All right. Some people in Spain say sillón bol for couch potato. It means juega a una pelota de estar sentado en el sillón. All right. Now, couch potato is a common expression in the U.S. I'm not sure if they use it in the U.K., couch potato, tirado todo el día viendo televisión. All right. Couch potato. Gato de chalet, dicen en Chile. All right. Ser más vago que la chaqueta de un guardia en España. All right, he's a couch potato. All right, a couch potato. Very common in the U.S., eh? The expression couch potato. But, And yeah, so Charlie's a couch potato now. He spends his time watching TV, eating potato chips, or potato crisps, as they say in the UK, drinking beer, watching TV, and getting progressively fatter. He has high blood pressure, high cholesterol. He doesn't have good cardiovascular skills anymore. But in the wedding photo 20 years ago when he was 27, look at the guy. He was tall with a nice hair, thin, slim. He was a knockout. I mean, he was a very, very attractive man. But he let himself go to pot. He let himself do what? He let himself go to pot. What does that mean? That means he let himself just, I don't know. He didn't take care of himself. Just the opposite of taking care of yourself means you let yourself go to pot. Is that an American term? I don't know. Well, yes, it's an American term. But I don't know if it's a British term. He let himself fall out of shape. Yes. Here it says, gone to pot. Gone to pot. It says, they always look gone to pot. Echarse a perder. Se dejó, se echó a perder. To go to pot. To degenerate. Degenerar de forma muy mala, dice aquí. All right, to degenerate badly. All right. All right, to go to pot means te dejas, bueno, te dejas engordar. You don't do anything to maintain your physical fitness or your physical health. And you just go to pot. And that's Charlie, but that's why I don't want to throw away or do away with those photo albums. Because I'm young and handsome.